This is Akafe. Laura Marie and Jessica Marie proudly present A Court of Fandoms and Exploration, a podcast. Fair warning, everything the hosts say is explicit, full of spoilers and adult content, and shall not be used against them. They have opinions. Let's try not to drag anyone for expressing themselves and just have fun for an hour. We all deserve it.
This episode contains spoilers from Five Broken Blades with mentions of The Book of Azrael, Six of Crows duology, and A Knight's Tale. For full list, please see show notes.
Welcome to A Court of Fandoms and Exploration, your weekly deep dive into the fantasy, literature, and fandoms that we love. I'm Laura Marie.
And I'm Jessica Marie.
And today we are discussing the brand new release, Five Broken Blades by Mae Corlin.
So our episode today is that it's coming out is May 6th. So this is a fun little preview with some spoilers, as the book does come out on May 7th. And we were fortunate enough to receive an ARC from Entangled and Red Towers and K Publicity. So thank you so much to the publishers and the publicity team and everybody on this. We love this. We're going to talk about it a little bit more, but we do have our disclaimer because at the time that we received this book, there was no pronunciation guides. So please bear with us. Maybe by the time of this release, there will be one there. And also when we were going into the Audible, because this will be released on audiobook on May 7th as well, there's six narrators. So it is a diverse, well-rounded cast. And we haven't even gotten into it and we're already like excited to reread it and reread it in the audio form.
Yes, we really are. I'm really stoked for the audio. I think that would be just a really fun experience. Laura Marie, I went in blind, which is something I never do. And I had just the time of my life. Jess, what about you?
Oh, it was so fun. And there were like little things I know we were talking about before we started recording that I realized that I could have easily gotten stuck and hung up on just because that is my nature when I read. But when I was able to just go with it, just vibe with it, just enjoy it and don't overthink. The whole thing is so fun and I'm already ready to reread it. How many times did you read this?
I read this twice, and the only reason I didn't get my standard 0.5 in there was simply because my basement flooded and it took all of
put a damper in something.
Yeah, it's also why if you're watching the video, I have a wonderful background. So that is also why, because my basement flooded and I cannot be where I usually record our wonderful Akafe podcast. So that is why only two times here. I think a reread really makes it fly by. A reread is just like a snap of your fingers because you already know what's going on. You're looking for like details. You're looking to see where everything is, but you're already familiar with it. So you're like, oh, okay. All right. Yeah. All right.
And you know the dynamics between the characters already.
Mm-hmm. And following, I think, a very good like thriller kind of, I guess more thriller format is as the action gets back up before we get into it. This book to me, Jess, feels like a big spiral. Like it starts off like really big,
like those little funnels you put coins
then,
in. Okay.
Yeah. And then it gets tighter and tighter and tighter, you know, all the way down. So that is how I thought about this book. And yeah. And so because like everybody's out and then everybody starts to meet. Right. And everybody comes together.
Yeah, I love that part. Everybody had their like paired stories and side things going on as you're getting to know those characters. And then they do get, you know, they all meet up and then the story continues into what has been set up.
Yeah. And I found that just very fun. And it is as we get my point being, as we get closer to like the meat of the book and closer to the end of it, the chapters get shorter and shorter and shorter to really encourage you to like keep going. And they do kind of end not on a cliffhanger necessarily, in all cases, but like at some action point where you're like, oh. And then you're constantly turning the page, like a really good suspense, like a really good thriller. And then those chapters get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter until they're like a page and a half. And then it's the end and you're like, oh. And that was a very enjoyable experience. And if you have been a longtime listener, you know that Jess and I have kind of been in a bleh slump. So this was fun.
I know. I feel like we've lucked out with the past couple books that we've covered the last few weeks, or at least recorded the last few weeks, because, you know, we record out of order sometimes based on what we record. Now, you already have a familiarity with, like, suspense novels, so right? So I wasn't even familiar with that format. I was just thinking, wow, the pacing on this is really good.
My father-in-law is a published author and is working on his second book. So, and he writes in the thriller suspense genre. So he has been shocked several times when I have showed him the books that you and I are reading.
Okay.
And he's gone through and he's like, oh my God, that's just a chapter. Oh my God. My chapters have to be very short to keep the reader like on the edge of their seat. But you know, because
that's in tune to the genre that he's writing. And when ours are so world building fantasy, because this is fantasy and it's not like I don't want to say romantasy. It's plot with romance, not romance with plot. And the romance that's in this book, it's soft. I mean, I say that loose spice. There are physical, intimate moments between some of the characters, but it's almost like it's fleeting. It's referenced and we keep on going with the plot and the story. And it's just refreshing. It's really good. I don't even know where do we start. Like, we could get into the characters. We can get into the plot. We could get into the pattern, Laura Marie.
I say, before we get into the pattern, just tell me who these six POVs are, because these are our six main characters, I think.
Yeah, I think we can say we have six main characters, which is also really evenly distributed with the chapters and getting their points of view, but five broken blades. So we know that they're like five key liars in the kingdom, more or less. But the six people are, again, apologies if we're butchering the actual names, we're doing the best we can. Royo, Ewan, Sora, Aeri, Mikhail, and Taeyong. Those are our six mains. And then we have Daesum, who is Sora's sister. She's like a key driver for Sora. We have counts from various regions, essentially like the north, south, east, west regions of Umbria, Gain, Rahway, and Tamneki. And we have a king who oversees all of these areas, who is King June. He is actually the brother of Ewan. And there's also a sister, Kilimar, who is King June's sister and also Ewan's sister. The father has died. But yeah, I think that, but I think I have all the key players.
yeah, you nailed it. You absolutely nailed it.
And the Count Siok, who is Taeyong's father, and he's the Count of the South. He's another key player.
Yes. So addressing the pattern. Let's get into it. Yes.
No prologue.
So in my humble opinion, this book absolutely follows the pattern, and I get the pattern in chapter one with Royo, where he is slipped a red envelope into his pocket and he doesn't know how it got there at all. And he feels something like weird. He feels something like really off, and he sees like a flash of red on the corner of his eye. That ends up being Aeri, and she ends up being the absolute key to this whole heist, because surprise, everybody, this is a heist book.
Which, When was the last time we actually read a heist book? Was it Six of Crows and like that duology?
I do believe. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Long time. I also think that was the last time we had so many POVs.
Yeah. And again, how everything was balanced, how every pairing kind of has their own story, sub story going on. Because like if you think of the pairings, and I'm using air quotes here, it would be Royo and Eri, Sora and Tae Young, Yuen and Mikhail. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So the pattern does end up, I think, working just because Eri is the key to everything. And she starts everything off here in chapter one. And if we remove her, it doesn't, like, none of it really works. So I think the pattern is there. Jess, what do you think?
Yeah. I didn't necessarily pick it up until we started talking about the full circle of the pattern with Eri later on. Because again, I didn't want to find myself being like, is the pattern here? Is the pattern here? I just kind of wanted to vibe and see it play out. And that's definitely what it did. And there are parts, you know, we had talked about where, like, we'll get to Sora, where we were like, is she the main character? Because they're all holding their own in what they're bringing to the story, understanding what their role in the whole mission is. Because eventually, about like 50% way through the book, they all come together and they're like, wait, it's like the Spider-Man meme where they're like, you're here with this and this is, we're all here for the same thing. Something bigger is going on. Who's facilitating and dictating that? Because we are all a piece in this bigger puzzle. And how is everybody in on it?
Before we dive into the plot, and we're gonna skim, I think, is a good way to do it.
This is a good not necessarily deep dive. It's release week. We're all having super fun with the book. If you're reading it, and if you're not yet, hopefully the excitement of what you're seeing online and on socials will get you just as excited to start reading it too.
Yeah. So before we get into that though, Jess, did you see this twist coming?
No, at all. And I don't know if it's because I just wasn't actively looking for it. It was curious, but I didn't make it my focal point. Again, I wanted to vibe. But there were times, like, remember when they were like, go, oh, it's Mikhail. And then Mikhail's like, wait, what's happening? I'm blacked out. And then I'm reading it like, wait, what is happening? But for Eri to be the key to all of it really was shocking. What about you?
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. Here's the thing. I knew something was off with Eri. I thought she was the sister princess. Mm-hmm. I figured she was the sister princess on like some secret mission and like, you know.
This is her alias name. She wasn't Kilimar.
Yeah, and she's like trying to bring down her brother and like she's orchestrated this plot. And it's going to be this big reveal when she steps out in front of Yuen and it's like, ha-ha! And it's going to be this family plot to take down the king. So I was wrong. It's a different princess. But, you know, I guess I was in the right, like.
Well, even with Yuen, remember the scene when he finally is introduced to Tae Young and Sora? He's like, what's your name? What's your sister's name? And Mikhail is like, I have to get into that later. That almost seems like the fake out because he didn't react like that with Eri.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, So I was totally wrong and I was taken by surprise and it was delightful. And again, in the like suspense thriller kind of way that this was, I was like turning those pages really quick. I was like, damn. And honestly, to be quite honest with everybody here, because of that format, a reread is lovely for me personally, because I do end up being like, oh my God, I just need to know what this is. Like the chapters are short. Like, what is it? What is it? I'll go back and do the details later.
You know how sometimes in a reread, I didn't reread this yet, but I will. You're like, oh my God, it was right there the whole time. But there have been some books where we have reread knowing everything and we're like, where did we miss it? you know, like maybe it was there the whole time and we didn't see it. And even in that second read through, we're like, wait, it really wasn't. There were no clues that were dropped there. Do you feel like the reread let you know that, oh, it was there the whole time?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, totally. So let's get into it. Let's get into it. All right. Chapter one, Royo. Royo is our hired muscle. He's a strong man. He's been doing this for 10 years.
He's an assassin. I think that's like fair to say.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And he is having a beer after a shakedown job. He just got paid. And our bartender's like, yo, this girl has been looking for you. And Royo's like, that sounds like trouble. No, I'm not going to do that.
Because why would a pretty girl look like he was just like, I'm just here to do a job. Nobody should be looking for me. Only certain types of people look for me. And it's not pretty girls.
Mm-hmm. So as he is leaving the Butcher and Ale, he feels something off. He sees a dash of red in the corner of his eye. And we find out later that Ari has slipped an envelope, I guess, a note into his pocket. And that is the start of our plot there. Also, to point out that Royo has this feeling of, I am not worthy. Like, I'm not good. I'm not a good person. He has this guilt over this, job gone wrong that his girlfriend ended up getting killed in revenge. Mm-hmm. And he like, and her father went away for the crime, and he carries this like guilt. And that is his motivation for most of the book.
Yeah. Because ultimately it was kind of like his girlfriend's dad was set up to be the killer more or less, but Royo knew he wasn't. So now he's trying to like redeem himself to get his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend's dad out of prison, but that comes with a price that, you know, just like anything. So now everything that he's doing, like you said, is motivating him throughout the whole book to work for the gold, work for the money, so he can go ahead and get him out of prison to kind of, it's not going to replace his girlfriend or like redeem the time that his girlfriend's dad lost in prison, but to try to make amends somehow.
Yes. We also have little world building sprinkled in, like King June is bringing the country to ruin. Okay, good to know. And earlier when I was talking about the spiral and how we start off really big, there's a map in the paperback that we got, and it's a nice floppy one. And Royo is in Umbria. And our next chapter, Ewan is in Follow. So it starts off like a nice, nice kind of spiral. And then we get tighter and tighter as we go. It's very fun where everybody is. So Ewan is our prince in disguise. Yeah.
Yeah. So Ewan's background is he is King June's little brother. He is the youngest of the family. Everybody painted him out to be, the party boy prince. So he started kind of acting like it, not caring, doesn't need to be. He's not, he's definitely the spare, doesn't have a care in the world. But ultimately, we find out that he was exiled and was supposed to die. He was supposed to be killed. So that's kind of where we start off knowing Ewan. And so he's just trying to lay low. He doesn't want anybody to notice him. Nobody's supposed to know he's alive. So he's going under another person going under an alias. And that's kind of where we are. And then he starts receiving notes, which is he's already kind of curious because he's saying, like, why am I receiving notes? Because they're addressed to not his alias name, but his actual name. And he's like, this is a bigger problem because now I know I'm being watched when I shouldn't be. And two, nobody's supposed to know I'm alive. So who the hell is this? And if it's anybody, it's going to be, we find out, Mikhail, who is his brother's spy master.
And Mikhail does not get his POV until a little bit later, which I'm only bringing up because the pattern is in the first five. And that bothers me because I do feel like he's a big player.
I thought we were going to get, I was like, five blades, five chapters. This is going to lay out so nicely. Like, I was thinking, and I say nicely, it's not that it's not laid out nicely. In the pattern that Laura has established for us, in my head, I was like, that was the structure that I'm going with. Nothing to the writer. It was just my own thing. Is this still, I love it. I think it's great. It's paced wonderfully.
I know. I'm going to bring it up. I have something funny to say. Okay. I really like Mikhail. So his POVs coming up later, it just threw me. But okay. Chapter three, Sora. Sora is in Gain. I love Sora. I love her so much. Let me tell you how Sora reminded me a bit of Diana from Amber Nicole's books.
Yes. Yes. And she always stood on business, mm-hmm. and it was all for her sister. Mm-hmm. I loved Sora. She's really wonderful. She's wonderful. Essentially, Sora is many things. Her and her sister, Daesom's parents, gave them up to Count Siok and for money, essentially. They were like, hey, take your kids. We're taking the gold. Peace. Mm-hmm. And so her sister has a lot of medical issues and Sora is gorgeous. So essentially, the Count Siok wants to build his own Black Widow army, essentially, of women espionage and training them to be poison maidens. So they're going to go through 10 years of schooling, exposing themselves to every poison under the sun and become like femme fatales to go after basically just everybody that the Count doesn't like. And out of the 20 women who he bought, enslaved, only three survived through the 10 years of training, through all the poisons, through all of these things. And Sora is one of them. And now there's only three total, but one died. So now there's only two, but she's like the best of them. And she, you know, lures the people in with her beauty and analyzes them.
And she hates the Count. She hates him so much. And she hates his son, Tiung, too, because Tiung whipped Daesom when Sora tried to escape after her first kill and the guilt got to her. So she has this like resentment to him.
Yeah. And the Count knows he uses like a lot of fantasy and a lot of other books, I assume they use love as a weapon. And who yeah. is the strong, like you said, it really is like Amber Nicole's books, using her sister against him. Oh, you want your freedom? Do this other kill and I'll let you see her for an hour. Do this other kill and I'll give you your freedom. Actually, if you do this other kill, which is the major, like where we start getting the bigger plot of the book of take down King June, I will give you and your sister your freedom to do whatever y'all want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is where everything threw me, Jess. I have no problem admitting this to you and everybody. We moved to chapter four and it's Royal again. I was like, what?
We're like, what happened?
What? Okay. Okay, Royal. Royal counts his money and he finds the card and he goes to the inn. And then we go to chapter five and it's Sora again. I was like, what the shit? Okay. And this is where Sora kills Marcela Silas. And she sees Daesom because that was her reward. And this is, you know, this is also where the Count was like, all right. You have to go kill the God King. And then you and your sister are free. And Tiung is going to go with you. And he will burn your indenture after you complete and kill the God King. No details. How she's going to, like, how, you know, okay. But again, Sora's body is poison. Chapter six is Yuen. And at this point, I was like, what the sh? All right. Let's go. Because we have Yuen meeting Mikhail in the stables. And Mikhail is our royal spy master. How do we feel about Mikhail? I like Mikhail a lot.
I think he, and again, it's like you find more about these characters and you knew that there was a bigger picture and everybody does the things that makes their choices. for love. I also, there are a lot of times where I just don't see, again, maybe this is just me reading fantasy for so long. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Good. Like, I understood his decisions, just like when Mikhail and Ewan start their trek together and they get attacked by that gang. And then he goes, and then they run off because they're like, oh crap, you know, it's, everybody wants to point the finger. And then when that person gets held accountable, they're like, oh wait, that's not what we meant. So they ran off and fleed after attacking them. I like Mikhail. He goes, no, now we have witnesses. Kill him.
Yep.
Like, they was just, he's just, I like him. He, there was a method to every decision that he made.
Mm-hmm. Royal spy master, you know, he's got to be.
We love a spy master here.
Yeah, we love it. We love it. He says, you know, the king doesn't know that I'm here. Duh. Like, you're alive. Duh. He doesn't know that either. Hello.
How, and then how do you think you're still alive? You know, and that comes mm-hmm. later in the book. He's like, oh, shit. He really does love me.
Details here. Ewan did not recognize the handwriting on the note. So that means Mikhail did not write it. So this is our first clue
It's literally, you're like,
It's our first one. Cause Ewan's like, who's, what? This isn't my sister.
I know his handwriting because they were in a relationship for so long.
Yeah. So he's like, what is this? What is going on? What is going on? And this is where Mikhail recruits Ewan to kill King June. And Ewan's like, be so fucking for real right now. Like, are you serious? Like, no. But this is also where we get the background of, like, the crown that King June wears makes him immortal. And if you remove the crown, then he will be mortal, but he almost never does. And if he does, it's at, like, really random times.
And the crown is, like, within the certain lineage, like the certain bloodline. So mm-hmm. it's really just passed down.
Mm-hmm. And here's where we get the lie. This is our first lie from Mikhail. He says, the queen of Kitanis, this is her idea, right? This is your sister. Your sister wants to take down and kill June. So, like, that's who orchestrated this. Of course, we know that Mikhail is lying and Bae-Chin is the one who brought Mikhail on. And the king is the one who brought Bae-Chin on. So what a tangled web we weave here.
Right, because even when Mikhail was giving that, the Queen of Catan story, I was like, oh, that makes sense. Because then you have the background that the King June's father, who is also Ewan's father, he's like, oh, like, your sister was always going to be, like, if she was born a guy, she would have taken the lead because she was just always so calculated. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Because then she would want the crown to go to... Like, it made sense to me. I was like, she'd want the crown to go to Ewan, and Ewan doesn't know what he's doing. He wasn't groomed for this. And he would be like, okay, like, you have it, sis. Like, it made sense in my head how it was lined up and how she had always been forward thinking politically. Because there's even a line that Mikhail tells Ewan. He goes, you need to start thinking about, you know, and this is not quoted, but it's paraphrased to be like, you have to start thinking like politics. You're thinking like a kid. Start acting like you're a prince.
Here's chapter 7. Here's where I lost my mind. Chapter 7. We meet Aerie. What? What? A new POV? Are you absolutely shitting me? I was flabbergasted. My gasted was flabbered. Aerie. We meet Aerie. Aerie is, let me see, immature, right? My note says that she seems like new money. And she keeps saying that she has to fix everything with her father. That's her, like, main goal. And she really wants, like, Royo with her. So when Royo eventually does meet her, she's, like, nervous and, like, jumpy. And she's like, should I say this or should I say this? I don't really know how to act.
She's really flighty, I will say that. But how she is outside of Royo and everybody that she's engaging with and, like, having, like... I don't know. I thought she was kind of leaning into this, like, quote unquote, innocence and I'm just a girl. And, you know, you attract more bees with honey than vinegar. Cause every time she was talking to somebody, Royo was like, what game is she playing? How did we get our room upgraded? How is everybody so nice to her? How does somebody wake up that happy?
This is why I thought she was a princess. Cause what the hell?
Like, how did she know to, like, play everyone like a fiddle?
No.
And the politics?
No.
About, like the social?
Because I don't – here's the thing. I don't think she's playing everybody like a fiddle. I don't think she has any grasp on any of the social things. I don't think she has any idea what the fuck is going on. I think she is a very naive, sheltered, middle-class child who is trying to be new money and prove herself to her father. And that's why she is flighty. She doesn't know how to act. She's only 19. She has to put on airs because she looks like she's 24. And she isn't – she just doesn't know what to do. And the new money with all of that, well, I've got to get all these new clothes. I've got to get all of this new stuff. Yeah, I was a thief. Now I need to be better for my father. That's all part of this act.
Oh.
So again, to me, she and Royo are the main characters, in my opinion, because we have so much of this like – inner working of not only Aeri and like her motivation and her kind of like secrets that she has, because as we go on, she like everybody notices something like very weird about her, and it's played off as like, oh, she's so quirky, but it's like, no, actually, she's actually like doing something. You know, it's just very fun. But Aeri and Royo's love story is the main kind of love story that we have. So I just found it really interesting here. But then she's a thief. So during this recruiting that Aeri is like really bumbling through with Royo, she's like, look, all right, I have to kill the king. That's the job. Here's the diamond. It's worth like the rest of the money that you need. Like, I don't know. And the spy master, like, he gave this to me. Like, Mikhail, I think she just says Mikhail. Mikhail gave this to me. And we got to go meet him. So you're my protection. And Royo's like, what? Okay. Here's my other thing. I firmly believe that, Aeri is Royo's manic pixie dream girl.
Yes. She is absolutely his manic pixie dream girl.
Yeah.
They're quirky. They go to the carnival. Like, just listen to me. Oh, look at my dragon. I'm going to name him Royo because he's so grumpy.
She makes me laugh. I feel alive. It's been so long. Yeah. So that is that.
Is this love? Mm-hmm. I feel something, but I don't know what it
exactly.
is.
So, you know, that's that. That's that. All right. So let's... That is essentially until we get to chapter 11 and we get Mikhail. those are our characters. So let's start summarizing. Ewan and Mikhail, they gotta go. This is a travel book to the extreme because our spiral has got to get tighter.
That is what I go, oh my gosh, this is a travel book, but it's not book two. And then I was thinking, what, Six of Crows was a travel book, or was it Crooked Kingdom that wound up being more of the travel book? But again, we didn't just like net out between each other book. And I'm using this in quotes, like book twos being travel books until like 2 years into podcasting.
Yeah. So it's very fun. Okay. Ewan and Mikhail are going, they're going to Tile. Everybody's in on everything now. So the robbers on the road introduce us to Mikhail and his flaming sword, which is super fun.
So cool.
Oh my gosh. So this flaming sword lets Mikhail just like slaughter everybody. And this is where we get the like null, no survivors, and the seeding of the idea that Mikhail is like a demon and into violence when he is like in his like bloodlust and he has like a purpose that is different.
He's a rabbi.
You know, it's not wrong.
Yeah. Like, and it's like, and meanwhile, Ewan was like, fuck, I'm still so attracted to him. He's so hot when he's so bloodthirsty.
Like, ooh. It's actually like really funny.
It's so fun. It's so fun.
Okay. So that is what they end up doing. They have to like deal with all these robbers and like get to Tile. But by the time they deal with the robbers, it's dark. So then they get attacked by Samrocks and these, which are like big rooks is what I kind of took them as.
Yeah, like that look. I was thinking like the size of rooks, but yeah, look like ravens, like giant black. Because and they only come out at night, and they only eat on, they only like feast on humans. So, and if they'll, and if you somehow survive, but are just kind of mangled, they'll feed you to their kids, bring you to their nest, feed you to their Samrock kids that are the size of humans. So. Scary. I wouldn't want to be attacked by them.
No, very scary. Ends up eating one of their like camels, which is like a camel like
and a horse?
Horse hybrid. That's which what I thought is like
it was like a hamel is a horse and a camel.
Yeah, I need to see that. I need to see that. But Mikhail is like clawed on their way of like escaping, and there's like this whole tunnel situation and like a big fight. And Ewan, who is a master hunter, ends up shooting one of the Samrocks in the eye, and he's like, damn. That's going to come back around because they're looking for me. It did not come back around.
No. So I wonder if it will in the next book, assuming that there's a next book, but it's definitely set up for that. But I definitely found myself screaming at the page. I was like, the eye, you're supposed to be a master hunter. Why? You already heard all of the lore that their skin mm-hmm. and their feathers are impenetrable. Why are you not going for the eye? Granted, that is me with like you. Growing up in Florida, knowing that that's how you're supposed to shoot a, like an alligator, is that they're really like, it's either the eye or right between the eye. And that's like a one shot thing. That's all I was thinking of. He eventually got the eye and the thing didn't die. He just peered at him through the other eye. And if anybody's familiar with birds or like raven lore and crow lore, birds remember you. Birds remember you. And you know that that bird is remembering them because he knew it in that moment, too.
Yeah. Oh, he absolutely did. He was like, damn. We have Sora, and Sora is visiting her sister. Her sister is older and looks sickly. She's got a scar from being whipped. And they play that game, like, what would you do if you were queen? And it's like, free the indentures. Maybe that'll come back around. And this is when Sora tells Dasim about the job and is like, look, do you want me to go for our freedom or not? It's going to be really intense, all of this stuff. And Dasim's like, do it. And this is where we get one, the King of Catan is dead. This is where Dasim tells Sora. So Sora already kind of knows this. And this is also where Dasim says something into Sora's bad ear, which is, and Sora thinks, I think it's time. And she ponders this over and over and over again. The thing that really got me though is that she is still like unsure. She's like convinced herself that it's, Sora, I'm dying, but she doesn't know for sure.
Right. She plays with the time because she has, what is it, nerve damage in one ear. So she basically has just like poor ear hearing in one ear. And then that sits with her. She's like, what does she mean? What does she mean that like, I think it's time. I think it's time. And later she goes, what if she meant dying? And we don't have confirmation. Oh, no, we do have confirmation about that. But it took her. She was like, what does she mean? Time for what? And in my head, I was thinking, I mean, that's probably what she means. Like, it's time for me to go. Like, it's time. I'm out. So, I mean, it was I assumed it meant the same thing, but that's not how Sora was taking it.
Yeah. It, you know, interesting that still, again, no resolution.
And, you know, it's funny that you say that because what's one thing that I like here is that she included her sister, mm-hmm. right, in making this decision. She's like, we're going to do this together because both of us are impacted by this. And Dasim is the one she's like, I don't see you for months at a time now. So what's the difference if you did this job? Mm-hmm. And that's when Sora's like, oh, you're right. Okay. Well, hopefully I'll come back this time.
We have Mikhail and the introduction of Laoli, which is the charm plant that has been distilled into a painkiller pouch that all of the soldiers have.
I thought it was like opium. That's how I equated it to.
Yeah, essentially. We have the backstory that Mikhail grew up on the island that the only place that charm grows is on the island that Mikhail grew up on. So he has a huge tolerance to it. So he is in a lot of pain from his back being clawed. And this is also where we have this kind of like he can't trust anybody, but he is still like very much attracted to Yuen. And Yuen, he knows that Yuen is mad at him because he didn't come save him. But Yuen is like a stupid romantic and we would have all been killed, just as what you were saying earlier. And that the reason that Mikhail is invested in this plot to kill King Jun is for his own revenge, because King Jun colonized the island that Mikhail grew up on and took control of this addictive, they say it over and over again, addictive painkiller plant. So that is what we have there.
It was, and you know, it's funny because they're driving home the point that the Laoli is as addictive as it is. It's a salve. It's an addiction. It's a painkiller. It's all of these things. And at one point, Yuen asked his brother, why is this in all the military, like, kits? And I feel like it's not expressed here, but me thinking politics, I'm thinking, oh, you want all of your soldiers to be in command. You want to control them through this substance, to be like, oh, you want more of this? Well, do this job, work in the politics, do this military stuff, and we'll get you more. Mm-hmm. Very much like the Viper Queen is.
Very much. Very much. Royo has checked that the diamond's good and he's on the riverboat with Aerie. Aerie has very careless.
Five trunks.
Yeah, she's got a lot of trunks and she's very careless about money. Very careless about money. Yeah. She just keeps tipping. It's very big. She's just like throwing it out there. It is whatever. And he is like, gosh, you know, Aerie's kind of annoying. There's something off about her. Like, I don't know. She one second she's noble. The second she's like kind of on the street. I don't really know what's going on. And Royo says, like, I don't think I'm going to be back here to Umbria, but let's go meet the spy master. And thus begins their little riverboat journey, which leaves them essentially attacked and marooned on a little sandbar overnight.
One little I don't want to say a technicality. It's not a technicality. It is just me and my own head. Royo is all through this. He has been saving money for 10 years to pay up his debt, or not even debt, to try to get this person out of jail. And he's like, well, I'm not going to be coming back to my shack. So let me take all of my things that I've earned, all of my money, all of my gold bars, 15 gold bars, just casually dragging around. How strong is this man? Because then when they escape and jump off the boat, how did he not get pulled through the bottom? How did they not get a hole through that boat? Him having 15 bars of gold.
Oh, he's got that. He says he has that huge bruise he's got from falling on it. So, hey, you know, strong man. Strong man,
again,
be strong.
Just the technicality. I was just like, I want to know the science of this right now.
Yeah. Strong man, be strong. Strong man, be strong.
Strong man, be strong.
Yep. Sora leaves with the sun, Taeyong. In the way they drop off a drunk, and it just kind of like shows like the class kind of system that's going on. And it is very clear from right here that he, Taeyong, is absolutely in love with Sora, like absolutely just besotted. He is, my note says that he whipped Daesum and said, like, is that all? And that really stuck in Sora's mind, but he explains that later and it makes like a lot of sense. But they are going to Rahway, which I thought was very funny. Jess, that's up by you, Rahway.
Yeah. no problem pronouncing that one.
Yeah. On the count's orders. And Sora's like, why the fuck are we going to Rahway? But whatever. Okay. And then we have Yuen. Yuen in Tile wakes up in an inn and he's like, oh my God, how did we get here? And then he remembers he had to keep watch for everybody. And then he got all of their stuff. They got them to Lark. And then, you know, all this, they're in this inn and Mikhail is alive and he went to go get food and more painkillers. And they have to then also get to Rahway. So now everybody's kind of, we're starting to meet everybody. Our spiral is getting close. Royo and Aerie are attacked by pirates. As we said, she ends up on that sandbar. Jess, earlier you broke down the courts for us. North, south, east, and west. the North Court tried to kill the king before, and that is Bei Qing, right?
Yes. So the North, and it was kind of solidified because everyone's like, he's not a god king. He's just kind of giving him his title. And then King Jun had made an announcement to the crowd. He had been in Umbria and he had said, is it Umbria?
Yeah.
Yeah. He had been in, I'm looking at my map and I couldn't find it on the map. But he's in the North Court, I guess you could say. And he was making an announcement to the speech and somebody had shot an arrow. It was in his neck. Nothing happened. It was kind of like one of those, it should have like got his like aortic artery or something. And he just walked away unharmed. And that kind of solidified everybody's idea like, oh my gosh, he is immortal. He is untouchable. We find out it's really, he is touchable just as long as he's not wearing the crown. So other courts are trying to make, or not even make, they're trying to have like allyship. But Umbria's really not wanting to insert themselves with anything of taking down King Jun again because they're kind of already on his radar. So they kind of want to just stay out. That's what we're led to believe.
Yep. Excellent. 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 Very good. Thank you, Jess. Sora and Taeyong in the carriage go to Lord Shan's estate. This is really just to kind of show to us that Taeyong is a little bit different than his dad. He's like, ladies first, we have it, you know, backwards here. Like, you know, we don't want all this dinner, just to kind of show that he's different. So, you know, good for him. Good for him. This now, when Royo wakes up in the lifeboat, this is when Royo is like, what happened? Because this, how did we get here? The pirates attacked. I fought off all the pirates. We were going to jump. Then we couldn't jump. When we fought with Aerie, we were bickering. We're getting closer. There's a little romance going on. And then we jumped and we landed in a lifeboat. How did she move me? What is going on? Something isn't right. And that is the moment that really sticks in Royo's brain that he can't let go, which is good because he's right.
Yeah. And you're right, because it sticks with him because he keeps saying this little waif of a girl.
Yeah. Yep. 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 Mikhail and Yuen are going through mountain passes and they're trying to get to Lark, and they're just talking. We get that, you know, Yuen, for some reason, boredom, decided to hunt prisoners in the woods from the forest and became the butcher. Okay. And this is how we get the introduction of Chul and how his daughters and the magistrate and all of this. And Chul thought they were going to the whorehouses and all of this backstory.
And the backstory is important because Chul is the one that Yuen let go during his like ripper spree, I guess you can say. And because they tell you, like, if you're ever held captive, and maybe this is fun fact, these are things we learn because we're women and we always have to be aware of this stuff, to get on a personal level, share personal information, all of this stuff. And Chul tells Yuen, you know what? These are my last words. Tell my daughters, like, I was always like looking to write their name and defend them to the end and look after, you know, the people who attacked them, all of that stuff. And that warmed, you know, Yuen's little heart, let Chul go. And Chu immediately ran back to King Jun and told everybody. And it just hit a soft spot. And because Yuen let somebody go, and he shares this with Mikhail, and Mikhail's like, Yuen's always been a really bad liar, and I know he's not lying about this, but who is this person? Because the person I fell in love with didn't give a flying fuck about anybody but himself, and I loved him anyway. So when did he get this humanity?
And later, in another one of Yuen's chapters, he's like, I don't know, like, Mikhail, fuck you, my guy. Why did you agree to banish me? And Mikhail's like, fuck you, my guy. I would have been killed. I am just a commoner. You're a prince. You were just banished. And he's like, sent to death. And he was like, fuck you. fuck you. Who do you think saved you? I saved you. I dragged you to the oasis. I paid the caravan. I did it all, not the gods, you dumb fuck.
And you've been protected this whole time because of me. You would not be protected if I didn't, like, make the decision I made. I've always been thinking bigger picture and thinking about the politics, and you've just been playing a party prince.
Yep. He's like, I prove my loyalty to the king, and then I fucking scheme to save you. So shut the fuck up. And as that is happening, they stumble upon, an attack. They stumble upon an attack. So we have that going on. Aerie and Royo are sleeping on a sandbar, all wrapped up together, having little one bed moments.
One bed? I was going to say like one blanket trope.
Yeah. One blanket trope. We like that. Taeyong is on the northern road. They're 3 days on the northern road. He's loved Sora since she was 9. And he's like trying to convince her. But then it is revealed to us that he has been ordered to kill Sora as soon as she kills the king. Wa-ba-ba-ba. The attack with Yuen and Mikhail really fucking throws Mikhail, because he really saw himself in this kid, because this kid was the setup and his dad was this robber and they're attacked and it's this whole thing. And Yuen almost dies. And what happens is Mikhail is fighting and the kid that was bait jumps in front of Mikhail's sword and Mikhail kills a kid. And in revenge, mercilessly kills this kid's father.
Well, because he couldn't believe he did that. So he's killing him with the flame sword. The father was about to get attacked and the kid goes, Dad! Mikhail goes to attack him. The kid jumps in, impales the kid. The kid is like, oh my God, I can't believe I do that. He drops the sword. And then the dad is like, haha, free sword that has flames. This is so cool. Runs away. And then Mikhail goes after the dad because he's like, fuck you. You're a shitty ass dad. You thought that the sword was more important than your son. You want the sword so bad. I'm going to impale you with it multiple times and castrate you. And we love Mikhail for that. We love that he's always standing on business.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They clean themselves up and they go into town and they tell him about the Ring of Catan, turns everything to solid gold. And we have the musing from Yuen. If family doesn't love you, who will? So interesting, interesting, interesting. Sora and Taeyong have to meet the Count tonight, and they are at the Troubadour Inn, which is important very soon because Royo and Aerie also show up in the Troubadour Inn after ordering new dresses and suits. So we have our spiral getting a lot tighter.
We're off to meet the Count Rune, not Count Rune, Love of My Life. Yep. Count Rune, not Rune, Love of My Life, Rune.
Yep. And that's very interesting because at that dinner, in walks royalty. Because everybody now is in Rahway.
Yeah. And everybody's standing. You're like, who walked into the room? That's one fun thing about the chapters that that Mei has written is you're, like you said, and I guess that goes with the spiraling format, that funnel format, is you're like, ooh, who is it? Like, I think the best thing is, like, don't try to guess. Just go with it. Because, And I say that as somebody who always tries to guess. And I'm like, no, this one, I'm just gonna, like, again, just vibe. Don't be like, ooh. But you get an idea of who it's going to be because you have all of these POVs anyway.
And who was it? It was Yuen, obviously. It was Yuen and Mikhail. They walk in. And it's just a dinner where we have a nice poison demonstration for Sora. And she doesn't know. And that poor dog has to die. But what a demonstration. And everyone is shocked. Oh, my goodness. And this is where Sora learns that, like, she's not on a suicide mission necessarily. Because she learns that, like, the crown has to be removed. And then the king can die. So, like, it is actually possible. And Sora, she has the revelation here where she's like, huh, my sister said, like, I think I'm dying. Damn. Okay. That's not great. And then Rune is on the balcony and he's like, yo, I I would have broken you. The count left your spirit. I am going to tell you something because I want you to be indebted to me. I think you should know that Tiung is going to murder you.
And that makes her think, because she goes, what do you mean? And he goes, why else would he come with you? And she parroted what Count Siok said to her. And I never questioned anything. She never questioned anything. When it came to her sister, it was just like, what do you need done? Mm-hmm. I got it. Like, there was just no question. It also makes me wonder with, like, Daesum, Sora's sister, you know how there was a comment she made at the beginning of the book about, you know, too bad I lived, because then you could kind of, you know, you wouldn't feel like all this pressure to do things and like certain actions because of me. That she kind of said, like, hey, I'm dying, as a, you're going to lose me. So make the decisions for you. Don't make them based on me.
I could see that. I could see that. And that would kind of be in line, because these are smart, smart ladies here. So interesting, interesting. Good point, good point. All right, we have our meeting, sort of. And Michaela's like, all right, listen, we are attacking at the Millennial Celebration, and it's going to be in 15 days. And we've got one more person we got to meet, and it's going to be rad. And Ewan is like, ew, girls, can we really rely on girls? And Michaela's like, fuck you.
Oh my God, you're so annoying about this.
I know. He keeps driving that point home. The whole time he goes, For everything, for mm-hmm. everything, for Sora, for finding out that Aerie is the thief that can make things happen. He just, and Mikhail makes a comment like, oh, people are so backwards. Because then Ewan also complains about his sister, how she's a queen up in Catan running things as like the regent, because her son is too young or something. But he makes that comment of like, ugh, how they do things up there, that women have power. I'm like, mm-hmm. you're the last person
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to be saying anything.
All right, here we go. Here we go. After a sweet, a little bone session between Ewan and Mikhail, and a nice night carnival between Aerie and Royo, we have our meeting. We have our meeting. Royo and Aerie go upstairs. Tiung answers the door. And here we go, demonstration time. We have Aerie stealing.
Juggling. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. Aerie steals the crown off of Ewan's head, right? And puts it on Tiung's head, while Royo is, just as you said, juggling as distraction. And no one can figure out how she does it. It's like really crazy. Like, what is going on?
Did you think it was this? In the sense of, what did you think her sleight of hand was?
I thought she was just like a really good thief. Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't think it would be anything special yet, because everybody else is just like a high level of skill or important. Nobody is like a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and then even Sora was like, I know what you are. And Aerie was like, what?
And Sora's like, I really don't know, though.
I really don't know, though. And when she said that, I'm like, I don't. What did I not pick up on? Or like, maybe she was like a magic, because we know that there is magic. We mm-hmm. know that there's magic. So I'm thinking, like, maybe she's some sort of like mage we don't know about.
Interesting.
And I love that Sora was just kind of like using her courtesan background to be like, I'm onto you. And she's like, I don't know at all. Trying to like get a tell out of her.
We have Ewan musing that the Dragon Crown is cursed and only the Bejkin line, I'm sure I'm butchering that, can wear it.
Yeah, I didn't know
it.
How to pronounce it. That was, you know, that audio on socials. They were like, when you're on the road to shum, shum, shum. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know how to pronounce this one. I thought it was like Bejkin.
Yeah. Yeah. But their blood is in the stone that is in the center of the crown. So only one of the line can wear it. And Ewan is not of the line, his mother confessed that he is not the king's son. And he actually killed her for that, which is like kind of glanced over, but he did. Even she was dying anyway, but he like, something. Yeah, maybe it'll play out. It'll play out. This is also where we get the lore that like all of the objects are kind of cursed in a way. And the ring to make gold actually pulls iron out of your blood and it will eventually kill you. And it causes extreme pain. So that's very good. We also have Sora being like, you know what? I'm going to double cross all these motherfuckers and I'm going to steal the crown, actually. And I'm going to stick it on my sister's head to make her better because I think she is dying. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do. And she also has a kinship she feels with Mikhail. Yeah.
Yeah. I like their kinship. They kind of see each other and don't judge each other for it.
Yeah, I like it too. I like it too. Royo pledges his loyalty to Yuen because Yuen is like, yeah, no, I'll totally undo that edict. I won't kill all these prisoners for cost cutting. Like, no, totally, I won't do that. Royo's like, you have my blade, which is sweet, I guess.
This goes like this, you know, when they were talking about like changing rules and changing edicts and like letting Juan, I know I'm butchering that, Hwan, like, leave the prison, like pardon completely. This reminded me of that conversation that we had earlier this week where we were talking about Hercules specifically. And I was like, why didn't he make new rules? Bring Meg up to the Olympus with him. Why isn't that the first thing that nobody thinks of? And they're doing that here, which is nice.
It is nice. It's really nice. This is also where we have Mikhail musing about how he's going to destroy the crown because his need for vengeance is more than his love of Yuen, and he'll pledge himself to Yuen, but he's destroying this crown because it is the symbol of colonization that took over his island because the island did not revolt because they thought genuinely that King Jun was a god. So he is done with this. Now, we are at the point where Aerie goes missing. And by missing, I mean like she goes off, she fucks off and sends a letter to her dad. And this is where they're at the Traveler's Inn. They have stopped. And this is where we have our first little like, where did you really go?
And Royo, is this where like Royo was questioning her to be like, he didn't know where she was. He was freaking out and he's also thinking of himself. Like at this point, he's admitting that he's having feelings for her, but everybody was saying like, of course he's freaking out. That's his job, is to watch her and protect her. And now she's MIA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now she's MIA. Now what are we going to do? And Ariat comes back. She's like, oh, the town is just so cute. She apologizes. Everyone's like, yeah, no, that's totally fine. Except Royo. And things get weird there. And then we have Ari kind of musing about how she, she thought that her mom had a lot of friends. But in the end, when she died, it was only her dad and Ari at the pyre. And, you know, maybe family isn't all there is, but no, because like family's blood. So like, I really need to like be true to my dad, right? Like, okay. All right. Thanks, Ari. We have a stop at the Everglow Inn, and this is where all shit goes down and Sora gets kidnapped.
They concoct a plan. They all save her. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this is where you see people, like the characters' inner thoughts of, oh my gosh, there are people who care about me. That isn't family. And we talk about show, not tell when it comes to like the found family. And you could see their dynamics kind of netting out to that. And also at the end of people questioning those dynamics too.
Yeah, and we don't have to go through this daring rescue. We can save it for what it is. It's super fun. But Sora leaves a trail. She's tied up. Everyone has to work together and also like harass and kill a lot of people to go get her. And they work together and they discover that what they have stumbled into is a secret drug organization, which is like wild. And they're like, wait, what should we do about it? Well, let's burn it to the ground. And they burn it to the ground.
Because that's Like, you're always like, that's a good idea.
Why not? And of course, like, we're skipping over stuff. There's a lot here. But the point being that everyone is working together for a common goal. No one has to like say anything. Everyone is cooperating. It is the bonding moment. Their first kills have been made here. There's a lot of big emotions, right? Lives have been saved by each other. Everyone has really bonded here. And this is where Sora, am I really going to double cross these people for my sister? Like, I really feel kinship with them. What can we really do? This is also when Ti-young looks back and sees the assassin and doesn't say anything.
The one that scared them.
The one that is killed at the estate in a couple chapters.
Yeah, the way they're like, he's like wearing all black, and they were like, where did he come from?
Yep. And Ti-young sees him and he doesn't say anything, which is like, all right, cool. But Royo makes the observation that during this battle, there was blood on the outside of the door, which means that someone was working on the outside and something about this whole situation wasn't right. And he clocks that later.
I was going to say, Royo is the one who is very perceptive to those things because that's kind of his job to be perceptive and know like nobody's watching him. Whereas Yuen, when he picks up on things, it's really dismissive of like his paranoia. Like, oh, you're always like this. You're always anxious. You're always paranoid. You shouldn't be thinking ahead. I think like Yuen and Royo would make a good team with that awareness.
I think so too. I really do. The next stop for everybody, because they fuck off right away, as they should, after they burned everything down. The next stop for everybody is Dal's country estate. And Yuen makes the observation that they are in green uniforms, not blue. And that is not really explained, but okay.
But is the blue, and maybe I'm going back, like I definitely am going back a couple chapters. Remember where they were talking about like a certain color blue is only reserved for certain royalty because of the like the beetles and the dyes that need to be used. Do you think that there was a coral like that had a play in it?
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. He's a count, so he can wear that color. So he's within his rights to dress his household in that color, I would assume. But I would think it's a loyalty change because he's dead.
Oh. Huh.
Right? Like he's dead. Yeah. So I don't know. Everybody's at Dal's country estate. Nobody is there, right? Because Dal's dead. We just don't know yet. And this is where Yuen is just like starting to get really, really, really paranoid. And Yuen is like switching baths with Mikhail. So like nobody murders him. But this is also where Yuen is like, Eri is not upset about murdering all those people. That's weird. That's a weird thing about Eri. And then we have Eri saying like, all right, I have 3 days until the attack. As soon as this is done, I can live like a king. I can live just as grand as this damn country estate when I complete this mission. She makes Royo laugh, which is the definition of a manic pixie dream girl. Mm-hmm. So good for her.
She teases him about it too. She's like, is that a laugh? She teases him about it all the time.
Yep. And this is the part that I really want to point out. Sora is having tremors. Her hands are shaking here. And she really has to like do exercises to make them stop. And I'm wondering what is going on. If she's having like poison withdrawal symptoms. If like something is happening.
Because it's also like mentioned earlier, like first, like the second chapter when she's with Marcellus. She's like, that's weird. Haven't had that in a really long time, and about controlling it, that she was getting the shakes and like her she was seeing jewelry kind of blurry, and then it passed.
Yep. So there, I would love to know like what the payoff is going to be for that. Super fun. Sora also is like crying, right? She's in her room.
First time she's cried in years. Mm-hmm. She finally, like the dam finally broke. And Ti-young is there to catch her. And she's like, this is weird. Mm-hmm. Why are you touching me? And she's also like put on alert because of it. But then he professes his love to her here too. She's like, why are you being so like nice to me. This is kind of weird. She also wants to sink into her emotions because she's being vulnerable. And he goes, you know, it's super easy to like be there for the people you love. And she's like, you love me. And then he discloses everything to her that he's loved her his whole life since the second he saw her. He's like, I was a 10-year-old boy. Of course I was attracted to your beauty. Like, duh. He goes, but you had the spirit that I couldn't, like, you stood up to people who nobody stands up to, and you were doing that all for your sister. How could I not fall in love with that?
We have a Knight's Tales reference where she's like, I was doomed by my face. Curse this face. Knight's Tale. Knight's Tale reference. We love it. We love it. We love it. They see someone, you know, they start to be like, I'd know you in this life and the next, you know. But they see someone run by the window, so that breaks everything. Royo wants Aerie, my note says, wants Aerie biblically and has to leave. So he leaves. He's like, he's got to go patrol. And this is where we start getting, like, the chain of events, right? Like, Royo sees Mikhail and Ewan in the dining hall. He gets some food and then he fucks off. He's like, I'm unworthy of a good woman. That's like his thing. He runs into Sora. They hear someone scream. Okay. That's the chain of events. Mikhail.
And this is where the assassin comes into play. Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Mikhail and Ewan are about to fuck and they hear a scream and they run out. And then everyone is out there and they're just like, who screamed? Who screamed? Who killed him? What's going on? That's Royo's knife.
It was very Clue in this moment. You're like, was it you? And everyone's like, I swear it wasn't me. I was over here. Like, they were all like with their alibis at this.
Yep. This is where Ty says, like, I saw someone at the warehouse. I didn't tell anybody. Like, why would I? They search the body. They don't find anything. They burn the body. And this is also where they're like, hey, Aerie, where are you from, actually? By the way, like, what is this? So again, just like another, what is going on here? It's Royo's knife that killed the guard who we know is Thorn. And Ty asked the question, like, who actually screamed, though? Like, that doesn't make any sense. That's weird. Then it's the announce that Dal is actually dead. Dal's actually dead. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Mikhail pushes the plans ahead, though, because his revenge is kind of getting the better of him now. He's like, all right. We can't use Dal. We'll use Bei Qin.
He's also, like, so close. He's like, we're right there. We're right there.
Yeah, we're right there. We'll use Bei Qin. It's totally fine. We'll use Bei Qin. It's fine. But I have to fuck off, though. I have to fuck off. All right. I have to go to the palace, and I have to tell the general something. And that's what Mikhail does right here. Right there. Okay. Aerie, now we're 2 days out. Aerie doesn't want to do the plan. Aerie's out. Aerie doesn't want to do it. She's having a change of heart. But she's like, I have to do this for my dad, right? Like, I have to do this for my dad. I'll be a different person. I'll be better. I'll be with my dad. Why not change for someone you love? That's a good reason. Just throwing it out there. All right. Now we have, like, our big final meal, our big delivery order from the best restaurant in town. Right, everybody's at the Capitol now. We're at the Fountain Inn. We're at the Capitol. The assassination's tomorrow. We're in.
It was one thing that I liked about, you know, how sometimes, and I say this because I know we've read books, and it has been a criticism of us not being like huge foodies, and like the breakdown of the food. This. Like, these moments, because there's multiple times, like, they're doing takeout, we're going to go to the bar, we're going to go here. It doesn't take away from the story, because it's not, like, and the smell was wafting through the bar with the peanut shells and the smell of stale beer. Like, you're like, ooh, sounds like they're eating good. Kind of want in on that.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's what else is going on. And there's a lot of little moments, because I feel like those little moments, so many cultures, food is such a communal thing and a communal experience. It's like, kitchens are the hubs of the house where everybody kind of hangs out. And I think you get to see, everybody's dynamics when it comes to these food scenes that May has created.
I really love, I've said it before, but I really love Sora. And before dinner, Sora confesses to Ty that she's going to double cross everybody. And Ty's like, that's dumb. That's dumb. I already burned your indenture. Like, you are made of steel, Sora. Like, we will work this out. Like, you got to think this through. That doesn't make any fucking sense, essentially, which I really respect about that. I really like that. I also like Yuen asking Mikhail straight up, like, are you setting us up? And Mikhail being like, no. No, I am not setting you up. I'm giving you the throne. Isn't that enough? And Yuen being like,
Well, and it's because he already feels like he's been double-crossed by Mikhail before. And here's the thing with Yuen. I say everybody, it's really Mikhail, who comments on his paranoia. But there's like, you know, when people say like, oh, it's your anxiety, it's your, you know, it's your paranoia, you're in your own head. But how many times have we listened to that and we were right? So I can't be, and then you feel like people are dismissive about your anxiety or your paranoia, everything that's entailed. And you're like, yeah, but when has it been wrong? And this is Yuen exactly. Like, I'm not paranoid. I have a right. Like, they're historically, everything's panned out.
Yep. Yep. And we have that conversation with them, too, being like, you know, I never gave you up. You know, if you were tortured, would you have given me up? And Yuen being like, yeah, probably. You know, I'm giving you the throne. Like, why do you have to, like, own all of my secrets to own me? Like, you know, loyalty isn't love. He's like, but loyalty's always been cheap for you. You know, they have this, like, kind of big fight about it a little bit, which is interesting, because it's happening like the night before when everyone has to be like on it, because Sora ends up hooking up with Ty, and Royo and Eri have like sweet little moments, but she gives him the diamond and is like, yo, if it all goes bad tomorrow, like here you go, my guy, like you have your money.
Because he was promised this diamond regardless of how it was carried. Like, he gets an additional prize from Eri if, you know, everything went down with King June. But if he didn't, she had already promised at the very least, like, hanging out, protecting me for a month. Like, you get this diamond anyway.
We are in the backside of this book. Let's try to do it as suspenseful as the book was. Okay.
Your funnel effect. I love this. Yeah, I can't wait to find the video and like post it on social.
My funnel effect. All right. So Taeyang and Sora have to start the plan. This is the time of the plan, right? This is the morning of. They have to go meet Baechin at the tea house, and they have to worm their way in to guess at the big game that starts with a T that I'm not going to try to pronounce that is happening. It's the big championship. It's the huge, like, Super Bowl situation.
Yeah, it's kind of like a gladiator. Like, that's how I thought of it. Like, this gladiator coliseum. You're watching everybody kind of fight for their lives and die. And it's this whole millennial celebration thing. And they have to play coy with Baechin. Oh, we gotta go. And he goes, no, I insist. You're so beautiful. She's like, no, I really can't. And it's just kind of like the game to play to get the invite. He goes, nope, you both are coming. You will become as my guest and I will introduce you to King June. And he's actually higher power than your count. They knew. This is exactly like it was basically a script and was going exactly how they thought it was written and how it was going according to plan to them.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 72. This is where I was thrown. This is where I was thrown because Mikhail is telling us about his meeting with General Celosa, and they're talking about like the assassination. It's still on. You still got to bring in these traitors. Like, that is the order. And Mikhail's like, bet. And then Mikhail and Zahara have a little meeting in the spy office, and Zahara's like, yeah, I killed Dahl. You need to kill these traitors before you bring these traitors in. You need to kill them. And did you send Thorne, the assassin? And she's like, nah, that didn't come from our office. Like, I don't know. But that reinforces that Mikhail fucked off that night to go to the palace to complain that that assassin was ruining their mission, his month-long mission to bring in the traitors. So this is where you're like, Mikhail is going to fuck him over. Yeah, they are.
Yeah. And he does.
Sort of.
Huh.
Kind of.
It's one of those things where the way it's written, you're like, I knew it. And then you get to Mikhail's POV and you're like, oh, he didn't. Like, it's the it's back like, and forth of it.
Yep. And what did he do? All right. So this is it. This is the plot. Eri walks into the arena. She gets her uniform from Mikhail, right? She is going to be a servant in the king's box. Yuen is all dressed up and ready to go. And he is waiting in a secret little area underneath.
So he can get the crown on him. So that's where this is ploying out to be.
Yep. This is where Eri has a complete and utter break and a change of heart. She goes, she has her change of heart. But she says the line, the bond with my father is blood. The bond with these people is water. I have to make them proud. But she's nervous and sick and she can't do it. And she decides to betray her father. But the seeds are planted here. Royo is in the box. He's guarding Tai and Sora, and Tai and Sora are in position in Beijing's box right next to the king. Mikhail is in the king's suite. In walks the king. Sora starts, being like, I'm bored. And Beijing's like, all right, into the king you go. Everybody starts stressing. Everybody's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then shit hits the fan. Yuen underneath is captured. And the line is, your lover wants a word. So it's like, all right, it's Mikhail.
That's the part
it's
where
Mikhail.
You go. Yeah, that's where Yuen's like, I knew it. Mm-hmm. It was him the whole time.
Yep. Here we go. Here we go. And now we have Eri. Eri's POV. Beijing walks past Eri and she says, he is pretending to not know me. So it's like, okay, how would you know Beijing, Eri? But all right, moving on. He brings in Sora. This is where she has her complete and utter change of heart. This is where Eri's like, nope, fuck my dad. I'm betraying him. This is where we have the reveal. She grabs her amulet. She is wearing the Dragon Lord's amulet. And when she grabs it, it stops time. She stole this amulet from Prince Omen's body. Prince Omen being the middle royal brother who was exiled and killed for killing young girls and caught. And Eri then stops time, gets the crown off of June's head, gives it to Mikhail, and then resumes time. So it's done. It's done. The crown is off. Whew. I love when the thing happens, right? Yeah. I love when it happens. Sora kisses the king. Sora does not hesitate.
She doesn't hesitate. Sora is committed. She is committed. Mm-hmm. And this is supposed, and she's wearing like her deadliest lipstick. She's like, nobody's going to see it coming. Nobody's going to be looking for it. She's the only one who could wear it. And this is where we find out that, we try to destroy the crown and she kisses him, King June, and King June kisses back. And doesn't die.
And doesn't die.
And everybody is full stop in this moment because what's going on? This should have worked. And I'm thinking, because he was like, oh, hello to you too, Sora, I just met you. Which in my head, I was already thinking of the lie. I was like, oh, he could be like, oh, I was just so compelled. You're the king. How could I not? Like, I was thinking lies for her, in those moments. But Laura, this was the point where you said, wait, you said you stopped. And it was another twist that you didn't see coming. Because what were your thoughts when you're like, wait, where's the crown? How is he not immortal? How is he not dying?
Yeah, I was like, because Sora has the POV of she sees Mikhail slice the crown in half. So, and Mikhail, when he sees that the king is still alive, is like, holy shit, like, what happened? It's a decoy because Mikhail wakes up in the throne room and the king is there and he's wearing the crown and he's like, what?
He goes, I know I sliced that. He was so confused. Yeah.
He was like, no, I know I did that. Like, come on. So he's wearing a decoy. And that I was like, cause in the moment I was like, oh, okay. So like, that's a fake, but it's like a circlet. It's like close to his head. Like, it's not. it's not this like big crowd. It's like this. I had all of these theories and I was wrong on every single one of them, which is just so great and so wonderful and surprising. I just love being wrong in a situation like this. This is the backslide. This is it. All right. June is alive.
Yeah, we have like 10 pages left. I'm like holding a book.
Bei Qin walks in and is like, yo, let's go. Let's talk about betrayal. Let's talk about the plot. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Okay. All right. Bei Qin approached Mikhail with the plot to prove his loyalty and be forgiven for trying to assassinate King Jun. The king set up the plot to begin with as an audition so that these killers would come to him, prove that they are good, prove that they can work together, prove that they could actually pull it off. And then he takes them and says, yo, I'm going to murder every single one of you. You've all created high treason unless you go kill my sister and take her ring and bring it back to me. And everybody is like, what?
The fact that King Jun orchestrated it the whole time was the biggest twist. Mm-hmm. In your reread, mm-hmm. did you pick up on that?
I picked up on the fact that Mikhail got the information from Bei Qin, but Mikhail told Yuan that he got it from her sister.
Okay.
From his sister. So it wasn't right. So I was like, why would that?
Okay.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, it wasn't, you know how sometimes with the airy stuff, you saw the little sprinklings. You're mm-hmm. like, oh, it's there the whole time. But with the plot, that was the only giveaway.
Yeah. Let's do this then. Ty is sent to prison because he's not important. He is not one of our five broken blades. Okay. Let's do the reveal of Airy. Airy is Princess Nayurium. She was supposed to be dead at 12 years old in a fire by Prince Omen, but she didn't die. And June saw her at her mom's funeral and was like, well, damn. All right. I will reward you if you do something for me. I will legitimize you, Airy.
If you do
this for me, like, come on. But you double cross me, which I appreciate, which is very Klaus of him. I appreciate and respect, but also fuck you. So our deal is off. Our deal is off because it was Airy who killed the guard. It was Airy who kept June appraised of their movements. It was Airy who, when she stopped communicating with June knew that she had double crossed him. He's like tons of steps ahead. And
what? There was another, I can't think of it right now, but I know that there was another book we were like, they had it planned the whole time. And it was another great thing to be blindsided by.
I love being blindsided.
Me too.
I love it. Okay. The rewards for everybody, if they are able to pull off the heist of getting the ring in Catan in 5 weeks, is Sora will get to live in the Count's estate and her sister will be free. Mikhail is going to be regent and Royo is going to pardon Huan. Airy is going to be legitimized and her mom will be recognized as the first queen. And that is like what everybody wants. And Yuan will be reinstated as a prince and everybody will be good. And everyone's like, yeah, all right, okay. We'll do that. And then just to sweeten the deal, Mikhail, I will make sure that Aelor is taken care of. And Yuan is like, what? Who is that? That is our cliffhanger there. And then we have our Queen Sora, who is like, yo, all right, we got to do this. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about strategy. Let's talk about the strategy of the enemy of my enemy is my best friend. The end.
For now.
Ooh, I'm thirsty. I tried to do that real fast, like that spiral. Okay, so obviously, I think it's quite clear that, Jess, you and I very much enjoyed this book, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
My favorite character was Sora. I love her. Who is yours?
Easily.
I mean, I loved Sora, and I remember thinking, oh, because we haven't talked about this book at all this week. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing Sora, and the more we got her POV, I knew that she was going to be yours.
Yeah, she was just great. Just great. I very much enjoyed this book a lot more than I thought, just because I didn't read anything about it. And I just picked it up and I was like, what is this going to be about? And it turned out to be a heist. It turned out to be fun. It turned out to be interesting and new and different. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I have no complaints. This is real. Can you see yourself? I mean, we're assuming there's going to be another book. Do you see yourself reading this again prior to that book?
Yes. And I would like to do it through the audio.
Yeah, me too. And I'd like to, like, I remember when we had our Six of Crows Crooked Kingdom episode, we did those back to back. We might have made it even like one episode because it felt like it was just one long continuous story. I feel like that's how I would want to do that too. I'd be like, I'm going to reread Five Broken Blades and then go right into, assuming, the next book.
Poor Ty. He's stuck in that monster prison while they're off doing their heist for 5 weeks. My goodness.
Reunion is going to be fun, though.
It is going to be so fun. So much fun. I really enjoyed this.
Now, but that being said, thanks for following. Thanks for listening. And we can't wait to talk to y'all soon and hope to hear what your thoughts are on this book, too. Feel free to follow us on Instagram. We're at Acafé Podcast. We're also both on TikTok, Acafé Laura and Acafé Jessica. Thanks so much and see you later. Bye.
Bye.